he does for Jesus right now. Let's give God a shout of praise. And I know it's Thursday night. Can it be a good night for somebody to get loose in the Holy Ghost? Be a good night for somebody to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidence of speaking in other tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So excited to be here tonight. Thankful for another opportunity to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. You ready? Worship the Lord with my wife as she sings.
We're all
the 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 9. While you're turning there, again, I want to say what an honor and privilege it is to be back in Buford. Yeah, I love this church. I kind of feel like David when he picked up the sword of Goliath. When you pull up on the parking lot, there just ain't another one like it. And I love this church. I love Brother Copeland. Amen. This man means so much to me, him and his wife and family. I could stand here all day, and I still couldn't get enough said about how much I love Brother and Sister Copeland. Amen. 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 Glad to be here tonight, a friend of Jordan. Yeah, he's one of my dearest friends. I love him very much. Thankful for what God is doing with him, through him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you the best is yet to come. Amen. Have the Bibles again, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city, David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Amen. It's a common term that we use a lot of times when we are speaking to someone and want to grab their attention and arrest them, if you will, captivate them. It seems the conversation is starting to wane away. You probably used the term before. Oh, and by the way, anybody ever said that to anybody? Yeah, only one, okay? Sorry. Anybody ever said that? Oh, by the way. Okay, now we got some more honest folks. There we go, a little bit better. That's what I want to preach tonight with God's help. Oh, and by the way, amen. Would you help me right now and lift your hands and your voice and ask God to help us? God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. God, we give you glory, honor, thanksgiving. God, I'm asking you, Lord, right now, let your power, let your spirit overflow. God, move in this house in a mighty way. If there be someone here tonight that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, I pray, Lord, right now, fill them to the utmost. Fill them, God, with the Holy Ghost. Fill them, God, with the Holy Ghost. Fill them, God, with the Holy Ghost. Evidence of speaking another tongue. Renew somebody here tonight. God, we bind every demonic spirit from hell that would come against the service. In Jesus' name, have your way tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, right, clap your hands one more time. Can you lift your voice and give God a shout of praise? Come on, you lift your hand in this place right now with your worship. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated as long as you promise to help me preach. If you're not going to help me preach tonight, you just keep standing so everybody knows who you are. Hallelujah. We have so many times heard, preached, and thought, and read about this story. I would not be afraid to come to a conclusion tonight that this storyline has probably been preached and re-preached more than any other storyline in the Bible. The Bible tells us that David has seen the absence of God's presence, the ark of the Lord has been gone for a long time. And so the Bible, again, I'm going to try to cram it all into about 30 or 40 minutes tonight. And if you'll just help me, we'll try to get it done in that short amount of time. But the Bible tells us that David, with the sound of a trumpet and shouting, returns with the ark of God, bringing it back into the city of David. We could spend a lot of time here preaching about the importance of how the ark of God is to return back into God's city. We could talk about the importance of it being carried upon the shoulders of a priest. And there's plenty of good preaching material there. We could preach about the fact that the ark will only come by the way of sacrifice. David would go six paces and make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And we know that revival, God's Spirit, will only come when we begin to give sacrifice unto the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord gets here, we can take a lot of time and preach about how it is only God ordained that when the Spirit comes in to our midst, that we say thank you with worship and with shouting and the sounds of trumpets. And we know that all of this is a principle of revival. And we see that David brings it all together as he's bringing the ark of God back into the city of David. But might I prod your mind and ask you a question just for a moment and ask you, why was the ark ever missing in the first place? We preach so much about the fact that the ark was coming home, but nobody really gives us much background about why it was gone to begin with. In the book of 1 Samuel, we see the beginnings of a faithful man, a prophet of God, a young man. His mother Hannah had been barren for years. God, would you give me a son? When you do, I will return him back unto you. And so we know the story of how God blesses her with a young man, and she names him Samuel and takes him to the house of God and drops him off there and says, see you next year. So we see the beginnings of a prophet of God. We know the story of how God allowed him to grow in understanding under the direction of Eli. And it is, while he has all of these great accolades, the prophet Samuel would probably be known as the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. While he has all of these things, he's seen one of the most horrific events that Israel ever experienced. He's seen the people beg for a king, but that wasn't it. He's seen that king begin to fall, and that wasn't it either. But it is in the setting of the miracle of his birth that a man, an unnamed prophet, comes to Eli and says, I see the sin that's been going on in your home and how you know of it, and I am going to jerk the rug out from under what's going on. And we see that Samuel reaffirms that as he grows older, he prophesies to Eli and says, I'm going to remind you, there's going to come a day that it's going to be tingling in the sound of everybody's ears, that everybody that hears it is going to tingle their ears. God is going to do something really detrimental to Israel. And so with fear, he watches, he grows, and he becomes a man. And the day finally comes that the people have set up for war, and Ebenezer and the Philistines in Aphek. And the time comes that they begin to make war against Israel. The Philistines have come out with a strong hand against them. They are losing good men, soldiers in the army of God's people. And so the people said, we got an idea. Let's send for the Ark of the Covenant. So they went to Shiloh, where the Ark of God was. And the son of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas was there as well. And they brought the Ark of God into their battle. And the Bible tells us that the people began to shout. And the Philistines looked at one another. And somebody said, whip yourselves like men. And they began to fight and make war again against Israel. And the Bible tells us that in that day, one of the most detrimental losses that Israel ever suffered took place. And so we find that it's in this setting that when Israel lost this battle, that the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And Samuel watches in horror. No words can explain as these people take the Ark of God. And if that's not enough, we can go find from biblical history and from reading our Bible that 30,000 soldiers lost their life in one day. I'd say that's a pretty detrimental battle. That's more than the USA lost in Okinawa all in one fell swoop.
30,000 men died in one battle. They were someone's brother, someone's son. And if history serves us correctly, they were someone's husband, leading us to believe that they were someone's father. And so we can imagine, just if you would, in your mind's eye for a moment, close your eyes and try to imagine the sound coming from Jerusalem as it's made known that we have lost 30,000 of our men. That means somewhere between 30 to 50,000 children went to bed that night with the pain forever seared in their mind that I am never going to see my father again. As a father, I can express to you the joy of going home after being gone for a couple of days and seeing the excitement in my children's face as they shout, "Daddy's home." And as much as I can't explain that, I can't comprehend the pain that they may have felt that day to know that their father would never come home. The only glimpse that I have is through the eyes of my sweet wife, whose father died when she was at the young age of 15 years old. And I can tell you just by talking to her, there's a lot of tears in her cry. There are a lot of nights that you go to bed and you mourn the loss of your father. And we see this picture as the more dignitary people began to mourn the loss of the Ark of God, and rightfully so. We must picture this tonight as it truly was. Can you imagine the sound that was coming out of the children's home that my daddy will never be home again? Nobody to teach them how to be a man. Nobody to tell them that they were the most beautiful young lady that there ever was. Daddy was forever gone. And now they'll be open to oppression and the world around them. They'll probably be promised poor because there's no provider in their home. And nothing is ever really said about these orphans. Nobody says anything to encourage these young children. Samuel anoints a new king, but Samuel doesn't have a word for him. Saul is anointed king, but he doesn't have the answer. But there comes a day that Saul begins to slip and disobey God, and Samuel is told by God to anoint a new king instead. And I don't have time for the whole story tonight, but we know that David becomes king, and 7.5 years after becoming king, David gets an idea to bring the Ark of God back into the city of David. And so again, with shouting and the sound of the trumpet, he begins his trek towards Jerusalem. He goes 6 paces and he makes a sacrifice unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that he strips off his kingly garment. He's singing in the streets, as it is his nature to do. Historians seem to believe, Pastor Copeland, that there is a young man that's walking behind David with a tablet and a piece of chalk, and he's getting ready to write whatever song that David is fixing to write. I want you to picture a red-hot Sunday night service as people are getting loose in the Holy Ghost. That's kind of what's going on here. David, all of a sudden stopped and says, I got the song. The Lord just gave me the song. And we find that song in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 1. He says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah." And we can see David pictured in Sunday night church. They're having revival. He's singing a song. "My enemies are like wax before the fire and like smoke before the wind." And all of a sudden, David locks eyes with a young lady. And she's crying tears. And it's not tears of joy, Pastor Copeland, but it's tears of pain. And David thinks to himself, why in the world could anybody be crying tears of pain on a day like today? On Sunday night church, why should anybody be weeping like this? He begins to go down a little bit further. I don't know, but maybe he went another 6 paces. And as he's beginning to sacrifice unto the Lord again, he locks eyes with a young man this time. And this time he sees the pain again in his eyes and sees the tears that are there. He looks at this young man as he's standing there in some old beat up armor. and all of a sudden it dawns on David. He realizes that this man is standing there in his father's armor because he wants to make his daddy proud. And all of a sudden David has an epiphany that the reason that they are crying and it's not tears of joy is the last time they see the ark of God was the last time they see their father. It's been about 20 years that the ark has been gone. And every time they thought about the ark, every time they remembered a picture of it, it reminded them of the day that they became an orphan. All of a sudden, David and his poetic greatness, as he looks around and begins to realize, he finishes his song. The rest of that verse in verse 5, it says, he is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? Had a New Testament revelation that said you might have lost your earthly father, you might be an orphan, and you might feel like as the ark of God comes into the presence of our people that you don't have a reason to shout. But let me just tell you, it's not just a God of those that have it all together. He's not just a God of those that have all the power in their power, but he's a father of the fathers. He's a father to the broken. He's a father to the hurt. He's a father that will step down where you are and pick you up. If you don't allow me tonight, I just tell you what David was trying to do is snatch them to attention and get them to understand. You don't have to leave the shouting for everybody that's got it all together. You hear me tonight on a Thursday night. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what brokenness you're having to walk through. But don't you dare come into church on Thursday night and look at somebody that's worshiping and thinking, my God, I wish I could do that. He's your God too. Somebody, what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, it says, my God shall supply all of your needs. You want to know why? Because he's a father to those that are fatherless. He's a provider for those that cannot provide for themselves. That's why in the book of Acts chapter 17, he said, for we live and breathe in him and have our being. And we always stop right there, but the rest of that verse says, for we are his offspring. You want to know why you got breath in your body? Because you got a heavenly father. You want to know why you can come to church on the Thursday night and lift your hands with liberty? It's because you got a heavenly father. He is a God that is above all and looks down and sees all and is able to deliver. Come on. I'm just going to tell you, if you came to church on a Thursday night with questions in your mind, how am I going to pay my bills? How's God going to work in this? How's God going to provide in this mess I'm fighting? Let me tell you something. My daddy is such a good provider. He can rain bread from heaven. He can bring water from a rock. He can air mail you food through a raven. He can make the clothes on your back grow and the shoes on your feet stretch. He can feed 5,000 with just two pieces. Thank you. It's a bad. I don't know how it's going to get cured. She's 6 years old. And Brother Copeland, she can walk into any store. She don't think. She just starts picking stuff up and throwing it in the bucket. Baby, what you going to do? You going to pay for it. That ain't got no money. It don't matter. You stick that little plastic card in there and that takes care of it. What would happen? Oh, Jesus, help me. If we would take literally the scripture that says, in you being evil, if your children ask you for something, would you give them a serpent if they ask for a piece of bread? How much more would your Father which is in heaven? I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody right now on a Thursday night. You need to get the faith of a little child that said, Daddy gonna take care of it. I don't know how he's gonna preach it. I don't know how he's gonna work it out. I don't know how he's gonna pay for it. But I know one thing.
Take care of Jameson and push him around. He wasn't quite as big as he is now.
wife said, "Baby, you come here and you stay right here. Don't move from here. I'm going to find Emma." So I began to rant and run in the direction that I thought she was going. Over the sound of roller coasters and people screaming, laughing, and having a good time, I heard, and you might think you could book me, and under normal circumstances, you might be right. But if you'd have got between me and my little girl at that moment, something would have went down. Because I heard the boys. You know how David said it? David said, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and you delivered him out of his trouble." Let me tell you something. Your trouble doesn't attract God's attention. You can get all in all the trouble you want to get in, and that's not what gets God's attention. What gets God's attention is when his people begin to cry. All of a sudden, when you hear the cry coming out of the valley, of the shadow of death, and you're not going to be quiet for a minute because I hear a baby cry. I hear somebody cry. They're in a trial, they're in a death. I come to tell somebody tonight, oh, and by the way, he's still a God that can answer your prayer and draw you out. You out of the chaos. Don't. He's still God, and he's still able. He's still able. He's still able. I'm going to preach it to you. Get it in your guts. I said he's still able. I'm preaching to you with a word tonight because somebody needs to know that's barely been making it from Sunday to Thursday that, oh, and by the way, he's still the same God that saved you. He's still the same God that brought you out of sin. He's still the same God that delivered you from alcohol. He's still the same God that delivered you from drugs. And I promise you, he'll tell you time and time again, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to walk with you all the way. Don't you be afraid. Short years. words, there's not a feeling in the world like the feeling of being forgotten.
Right.
Here I am. My mother's gone, my father's gone, I'm all by myself. Where are you, God? Hannah said it like this when she felt the affliction of her enemy. She said, remember me, O God. And if so many times we're quick to think, what's the opposite of remember? Y'all come help me.
Yeah.
You know what actually the opposite of remember is? To dismember. And the problem is when we get in a forgotten state, or we feel like we're forgotten, when we get in a broken state, we feel like we're forgotten. We're not forgotten, we're just broken. And when God puts us back to men, when God remembers us, he doesn't bring us back to his mind. We never left. I'm going to say that again. I said, when God remembers us, he doesn't bring us back to his mind. We never left his mind. He just starts putting pieces back together. He starts remembering us and putting the left limb where it's supposed to go. And the right, I come to tell somebody on a Thursday night, you're not forgotten, you're just broken. And it's all part of the process that God showed up to tell you, I'm still God. Chapter 8 and verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You hear me right now. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You wonder why you don't have to be afraid? Because you can throw your hands up and scream, Daddy, I need you. And all the fear has to subside, and the darkness has got to back up. Tell it all. I remember 7 years old staying at my grandmother's house for the summer. And all of a sudden, my mom came in the house and she said, kids, y'all get in the bathtub. Y'all go pray. I was 7, my sister was 5, my brother was 3. I said, what's wrong with my mom? She said, you don't worry about it. You just go get in the bathroom and you pray. I was always a little bit of a rebel. I know y'all have a hard time believing that. So I told my brother and sister, I said, y'all go get in the bathtub and pray. I'm going to see what my mom's doing. And I will never forget that day as I walked out and snuck around the corner and looked through the kitchen. So I looked outside through the door. A tornado was coming our direction. It's the same tornado that tore up Jackson, Tennessee that same year. You know, I don't remember exactly what year it was. Whatever year I was, 8 years old. 7 years old, we'll figure that out, 27. Jackson, Tennessee got tore up. And I remember Mother Copeland watching my grandmother walk out on the door. She started taking down the bobby pins out of her hair, her uncut hair. And she said, God, you said I'd have power over the angels. And that's powerful. But the next statement she said, you just gotta know my mama, she talks in tongues everywhere. I took her out to eat the other day. I went and seen him. We sitting at the dinner table. She just were talking in tongues. God, I want that kind of thing. I remember she was talking in tongues and she stopped all of a sudden, her hair blowing in the wind. She said, God, my husband's been dead 3 years now and I'm a widow. I remind you that same verse that said he's a father of the fatherless, says he's a judge of the widows. She said, God, I'm a widow. My husband's not here to protect me. So God, you're my husband. And as my husband, you're obligated to take care of me. You can't make this kind of stuff up. I'm telling you that as an 8-year, 7-year old boy, I watched as that tornado that was tearing up everything in its path split in half and went around 5-5-3 magnetic road, come right back together on the other side. And kept on coming. Let me tell you, you have to make the penalty that God does not take care of his children. When I'm preaching to the night, when I'm trying to rouse somebody and wake you up out of your slumber and get you to understand, if he's ever delivered you before, he'll do it again. If he's ever healed you before, he'll heal you again. He's still God, he's still your father, he's still got the same power. He's the same yesterday, or their media device died or something stupid. But there's another cry that your children get. And it don't matter, Sister Copeland, you got five boys, you ought to know this one for sure. It don't matter if you're washing dishes on the phone, don't matter what happens. When you hear that cry, you show up. How desperate are you? I'm preaching to somebody right now that's been praying week in and week out. God, I need your miracle working power in my midst right now. I need something to pray. I need something. I need you, God. But I'm telling you right now on a Thursday night, I'm speaking to you prophetically in the Holy Ghost. And if you lift up your voice and begin to cry,